Good day, friends. Jonathan Darty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. So if you'd like to support our ministry, just go to bebroken.org/donate. And thank you to all of our amazing listeners who partner with us through giving. We truly are better together. In this episode, we dive into the dynamics of loners and connectors in relationships. Everyone falls into one of these categories. As we explore this topic, my friend and co-host Steven Cervantes discusses how loners tend to be independent and process internally, while connectors thrive on dialogue and emotional exchange. We examine how these differences impact communication and emotional connection, particularly in marriages. We share insights on personal growth, emphasizing the importance of understanding and appreciating each other's communication styles. You know, we're not out to actually change a loner into a connector or vice versa. We give lots of personal anecdotes and practical advice, aiming to help you navigate these differences to foster deeper connections and build stronger, more fulfilling relationships. For daily thoughts from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit our website, bebroken.org, or check out links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's dig into today's conversation about loners and connectors. Well, all right, Dr. Steven Cervantes, how's it going today?
Hey, excellent. A little raspy in my voice, but feeling good in spirits.
That's awesome. Well, we are recording this right into the new year, and you know, this will probably be posting later on. But
okay.
I wanted to just ask you before we get into today's episode, what's it like for you, like when the year turns? I mean, are you a resolution guy, or are you a guy that likes to analyze your previous year, or is it just another day on the calendar that it's a new year?
Oh, I hadn't prepped for this question.
That's why I didn't ask you beforehand. Yeah.
He's surprising me. I don't do lots of resolutions. Mm-hmm. I work on growth all year long, and I'm tweaking this and pursuing that and trying something new here. So I got to tell you this. You know, in high school, you play football, they do two a days, right? And it's hard, they push you to your limits. Well, I'm trying to do two a week.
There you go.
I joined a gym with a training class, and they wore me out for 55 minutes. I went home, and I was sore. My legs were throbbing at night. I'm an old guy. And they're going, the more you do it, the better, you know, you get. It's like, no, you don't understand. Old guys don't recover.
You don't recover that fast.
Fast, you know. So that was Tuesday. I'm thinking about doing another one today. You know, I've had a few days in between. It's Friday. Anyway, so that's my New Year's resolution. Go to the gym.
That's pretty good, yeah. Well, and I figured, you know, I honestly figured that the first part of your answer would be your answer, because you are just a perpetual growth guy.
Oh.
So, in fact, what's been cool to see, especially over, I think, the last, like, 10 years with you,
okay,
is that I think you've accelerated in like your learning and and because you know, hopefully you'll take this in the vein that it's intended, but your ideas are getting better and better.
Oh, really?
Like the stuff that you bring, like again, we'll plug this a little bit later, but drmarriage.org is where Stephen puts out a thought a day, and they just keep getting better and better. So I think,
oh good,
to me, is actually one of those signs of growth. Right? When there's insight, when there's new learning that's going on. So.
It's true. So I got to tell you, I love marriage. But there's all these other areas around it that impact it.
Mm-hmm.
And our topic today has to do with individuals and their style in a marriage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because so a lot of times what we'll do, folks, for kind of prepping for the podcast is, because Stephen cranks out these thoughts daily, I'll just go grab one of the thoughts and that will become a topic for the podcast. So recently I saw this one that had popped up, and as soon as I read it, I immediately shared it with my wife, because I was like, and it was sort of, I sort of told her to read it and say, hey, who's who in this? And immediately, I mean, it wasn't even hard to know which one of us was which, because we're so distinctly in each of these categories.
Oh, that's too good.
So hopefully as we unpack this, it will become evident to you, listener and viewer, kind of maybe where you fit and also what the growth opportunities are in both of these.
Good. Why don't you introduce the topic?
So the title was Loners and Connectors. And immediately it intrigued me, because I was like, okay, where is he going to go with this? Because I know that Stephen's the emotional growth guy, you know. So I was assuming this is going to go somewhere deep, and it did, because it really provided descriptors for how does a loner operate and how does a connector operate. But your first statement, I have to read it,
okay?
Because Stephen is known for, like, zingers that you go, no, wait a second, that's a pretty extreme statement, Stephen. So the very first sentence says, you only have two choices in life. You can be a loner or a connector. And I first thought, no, wait a second. No. And of course, the more I read, the more I unpacked, I was like, yeah, you kind of generally are going to fall into one of these two categories. So first of all, tell us maybe where this idea came from, or where this thought came from, and then maybe we can dive into breaking them.
Well, remember, I'm the marriage guy. I love marriage, and everything shows up in your marriage, right? You can hide it. You can act like you don't see it. You can pretend it's not there, but it all shows up. So the other thing about marriage is that opposites attract.
It's true, yeah.
Right? We don't really find two big talkers, right? Usually there's one big talker and one big listener in a relationship. Because, like, I talk a lot and you talk a lot, and then I talk a lot. It's like we trip over each other. No. Somebody that moves fast wants somebody that moves slower. Mm-hmm. And somebody that's serious wants somebody that laughs more. Mm-hmm. And so we often are attracted to someone that's the opposite, because we quietly think, oh, I could learn those skills and they could learn my skills and we could bring these skills together. Now, the dilemma is, if you don't have a growth mentality, you die the same. Whatever you brought, you brought. Like the funny guy who always tells a joke, if he doesn't mature, he's laughing at the end, but she's crying going, everything's a joke.
Well, sometimes I think too, the truth about that idea that opposites attract, we assume then that opposites will mature in intimacy.
Yes.
And it's like, actually, you got to learn how to navigate sort of the complementary aspects of those opposite parts. Otherwise, it will become frustrating, because then those opposite characteristics will grate on you. It'll annoy you. It'll be like,
true.
Why aren't you slower? Why aren't you funnier? Why aren't you more serious, you know?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so you can see this, and when we work with men, and you can see men being kind of independent. A lot of times they're project guys, they're doing things, and sometimes they get caught in that task mentality of do the task and be rewarded, and do another task and be rewarded, and they're a little less connectors. Connector related, connecting in relationships. They get a lot of satisfaction. I know where mine came from. My dad was a worker. Mm-hmm. Work. He said, one time he said to me, I said, Dad, I was thinking about how to do this. He said, I didn't tell you to think. I told you to work. So, man, I just went to working. I don't care. You get moving and working, you know? And you get rewarded for the task, and if you complete the task, you succeed. Yeah, that's what work's all about. Mm-hmm. So we as men love that, because we can succeed there. And if we're less emotionally trained, then we don't do as much connecting. Mm. So what are loners doing? They do a lot of internal thinking. They figure it out. And you'll hear a guy say to his wife, we already talked about this. And he says, yeah, I said this, then I knew you would say that, then I said this, and I knew you would say, he had the whole conversation in his head.
Right.
And then he pronounced the answer to her.
Now, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I'm the loner.
Okay? Oh, okay.
So, I mean, as soon as I even just read that first bullet point, I thought, that's totally me. I will, it's almost like I have to work things out in my mind before I'll even attempt to have voice about it, like before I actually. So in other words, what I've discovered is that tends to mean that a lot of my talking is more in line with a presentation than it is with like dialogue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in other words, it's more like.
Put them together because you think it through, right? So how it will succeed. Or how it will work.
Or what the goal is, right?
Like right. What is, because then when you said presentation, it's to roll that out.
Exactly. And so sometimes that means the loner is not necessarily looking for feedback.
Oh, right.
When something is spoken, right? So it's more of like, I'm just presenting to you what I've already thought out in my head, you know.
I love what you just said, because this moment is not that relevant. Whatever you have to say or present, I love your word presentation. I'm going to be disclosing this information to you. Mm-hmm. And whatever feedback or whatever cues I'm supposed to pick up in the moment, right? I'm going somewhere. So because you've already thought it out. And the next point would be they don't need to talk and rehash and talk again. My wife and I just had this conversation. She said, you know, I already told you that. I said, never say that to me again. Tell me again, because it's like humiliating. I already told you that. What, am I getting old? Am I forgetting things? Is that why? You know, and I like to talk, and I want to talk it through. I'm listening to how it sounds. I'm listening to how you use your words. So obviously, I'm the connector in this story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, this is a scenario that happens all the time in my marriage with my wife is she'll say, we need to talk about that, whatever that is. And in my mind, I'll be thinking, we've literally already had three conversations about that.
That is
so
really
to me, it's like,
good.
I thought we came to a resolution on that. And in her mind, it's like, we've got 12 more to go before she feels like we've talked about that. Right?
Isn't that interesting? I think that's a huge observation. Because connectors are trying out things. Mm-hmm. And then they're going, yeah, I said it, but I only half said it the way I wanted to say it. I want to say it again because I have a better word now. So I'm going to use my new word now. And I'm going to, right? So they're talking it through and they're listening as they're talking to how it sounds. But that's not, the loner is doing an individual thing, figuring out in their mind. And man, you just nailed the whole show. I just think it through, and then I present.
Mm.
That's fabulous.
That's kind of the loner MO, right?
Yeah, that's a great way. And I'm not sure I've heard that, and our listeners probably haven't heard
somebody
say that.
I don't want to jump ahead too much, but just to immediately kind of contrast that with the connector is the connector MO is I've got to talk it out in order to
figure it out. Yes,
yeah,
so. That's right. And so I read that somewhere, men think and then announce the answer, and wives talk to try to figure out the answer or what they think about it, what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So part of the talking is the processing it and getting it straight so it feels comfortable in my head with my words and all that.
And of course, we've said this before, when we make some of those statements, those are generalities, right? I mean, in terms of like the bell curve of men and women.
Yes.
I mean, you just admitted you're
That's
a connector.
Right.
You're not a female.
No.
You know what I mean? But
no.
You talk. You want to talk.
I always use the 80-20 rule
exactly,
or something.
Yeah.
And flip it as you need to flip it. Mm-hmm. I'm more like this or more like that. So, and most of these are for conversation.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, this is not research. He and I spent 6 months doing. We're going to announce our research.
Right.
This is all observational material.
That's use why I love the fact that you just call them daily thoughts.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is just a daily thought to chew on. So
I'm okay keeping things to myself if I'm a loner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to say everything. You know, you get around people and whatever they see, they say, whatever they think, they say, whatever's in them comes out. And after a while you go, I heard that story, or you already told me that. Well, it's okay, I have to say it. It's like, well, wait a minute. Loners don't need that much verbiage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that gets back again to that idea of, because loners are typically more internal processors, there's a little bit more of a familiarity with just kind of being in your own head. So now, I will say this, as a loner, sometimes that can cause anxieties and fears. Because sometimes if you're in your own head and you just keep kind of spiraling down into your own thoughts, you can go on the what-if train all over the place, and it can kind of become a little bit anxiety-producing. But for the most part, you're right. There's not a sense of – there's not that felt need of, I have to speak in order to, like, connect, or in order to feel like I'm
– But I think you make a really good point also. And I was reading something this morning, and they were talking about secrets and how we try to – sit on our secrets and not let them out, but they live down there. And when you talked about spiraling down, right, anything that's painful or sad or traumatic or ugly or secretive or story untold, you can go down into that pit and it can, like, deregulate you. So loners are looking for things and projects and tasks because they can go work on them from beginning to end, and they like that. They have control of the whole process. And they aren't looking for opportunities to connect. Oh, let's go have coffee. Let's go. Why don't we go catch up?
I joked about this because one of my kids is got a personality kind of similar to mine. And one of the things that I was telling my wife when this child went off to college and wasn't contacting my wife as much as she had hoped and all this kind of stuff, as I said, you know, this child of ours is like me in the sense that we will connect with whoever is proximate, meaning our mindset isn't about like, oh, I want to have all these links and stay connected to all these, no matter where they are, no matter what they're, it's like, oh, you're in the house? Okay, I'll talk to you. You know, it's more of like, we don't think in the sense of thinking, oh, I need to call so-and-so who lives in Montana or what.
And keep the connection and so build the relationship.
So that line there about loners aren't looking for opportunities to connect, it's kind of what is happening in the most immediate context of where I'm at, and what is necessary connection? Like, what is,
that's
in other words,
too good.
It's not about, I want to connect just for the sake of connecting. It's like, we have to have a reason for connecting.
But think about what you just said, like just the pure joy of connecting. No, we have to have, I'm okay without that, right? But connectors somehow find it joyful to connect.
And for loners, a lot of times, because again, there's this internal processing, usually there's goal orientation. They like things. They want a project to get done.
Yeah.
It's more of like our connecting has a goal in mind, and it's not just the connecting.
That's right? Good. So one of the statements is live dependent on yourself. To live dependent on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say?
Well, that's it too. A lot of times, because the loner, I like even the fact that you use that descriptor as kind of the title for the difference between a loner and a connector.
Okay.
Is a loner, even in that term, it's the idea of, I'm going to do things on my own. I'm going to figure things out on my own.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily needing to rely on other people. You know, so there is a sense that even just the idea of loner is going to do things alone, or going to figure things out alone.
And so, I think this is fabulous in terms of dependent on self peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because connectors are going, what do you think? Is this good? Is this okay? Should it be this or that? Right? But loners are going to believe themselves and go forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and what I think is important for us to, where I hope we get to a little bit in this conversation, is that there are obvious deficiencies, I think, in both of these, even loaders and connectors. And also, I think it's important that we recognize none of these things that we're going to say about loaners and connectors are meant to say one is right, one is wrong, one is better, one is worse. You know,
no.
The idea is we're trying to help
styles.
You understand how are you kind of built? Like how do you think and process, and maybe what's sort of your natural bent when it comes to this idea of connecting?
And they don't necessarily get this whole emotional connecting thing.
Right.
Right? And don't necessarily need it either to, as you say, get the task done, the job done. So they're fine staying a little more private. And they're okay with you doing a lot of talking. Right? You love it? Well, do it. Do more of it. I do less, you do more.
The reason I'm smiling and kind of chuckling over here is because, I mean, just recently, my wife and I joke all the time about how if we ever need examples of, foibles and struggles in marriage, they're always recent and fresh in our marriage. And one of them was just last
That's
night,
so good.
She's telling me about all these things. She's telling me. So she's making statements about a particular thing that had happened or whatever. And then I'm just listening. And then there's this pause and she goes, well, usually a conversation goes back and forth. And so she's expecting me. And my thought was, but there was no question asked. She's just making statements.
Oh.
And so sometimes to your point, it's like there's a sense in which a loner's like, hey, you want to just keep talking? You want to just, I'm fine. And until you ask me a question, I don't know if there's anything that I need to.
Well, I think there's an excellent point of why it's frustrating. It creates tension sometimes because the connector needs to know you're in my conversation with me.
Yeah.
You're walking with me. You're pacing with me. Your words are matching my words, and my mood and your mood are the same. And there's a connection. So when I say pain, you go, "Oh, sad and suffering."
Well, then I had your voice in my head of giving little grunts and little So after that point, it was like she'd say something like, "Hmm."
A little marker, a connection marker, right, to know that you're with me. Even saying that, those little sounds say, man, I'm right, pacing with you, I'm next to you, keep going.
And I hope it's okay that even after 29 years of marriage that it's okay if I'm still the slow kid in the class. And I hope that's encouraging, not discouraging to our listeners and viewers, that it's like, hey, there's a process. Some of us are slower than others. I mean, and I will say this, as a loner, a lot of times we are much slower in these things when it comes to really understanding the importance of emotional connection or really gaining skill in connecting communication and all that. So it's not saying, we're not saying loners, you're perpetually locked in these things and you can never connect. But this is sort of how I'm wired and how a loner is wired. So the more you can recognize that in yourself, when you engage with a connector, you'll know, oh, I know what's going on, because we're going to say what a connector is in a minute. And you'll be able to go, oh, I know what's going on in me right now, and I know what's going on in them. So maybe there can actually be a dialogue.
So, but most, we've understand now, I'm fumbling here, we understand now that people that don't connect weren't trained to connect, right? If you're not good with your emotions, it's because you didn't have a good template of emotional back and forth going on, mm-hmm. right? Because if you saw it, you picked it up and you learned it. And so you can't blame yourself. You start with accepting, this is where I am, and then I'm going to move forward. Mm-hmm. So that connectors talk to connect, right? I say mm-hmm. something, you say something, and that dialogue. And I had this thought recently, you can't be close to anyone if you don't dialogue with them.
Right.
I mean, you could say, how's the weather? How's the game? What happened? The traffic? The potholes? You can talk about anything you want, but you have to have this back and forth dialogue that gets deeper for a connection to occur. And that's a challenge for a loner, but it's a need of a connector, is for mm-hmm. us to go back and forth. I use words, you use words. and your words match my words and show me that we're in sync here. Because I want to tell you the thoughts that I have that are running through my mind, the ideas, the things I experience. I want to tell you about me with my language and my words.
And that's something I've definitely learned being married to a connector, is that I've realized that so much of the time, I'd say probably half of the words that she's saying and the things that she's talking about are not with necessarily, for lack of a better way to put it, a point in mind. In other words, it's not towards a goal. It's not trying to solve anything. It's not. It's just these are thoughts that have been rolling around in her head all day, and they just need to get out. And they just, in other words, they may not be forming any kind of plan or any kind of, you know, going into a particular landing place or a goal or anything like that. But for a connector, like you said, it's vital for her to feel like she's connected to me for those words to get out. And to know that I've heard them,
right.
Even if I don't have an answer, I don't have, you know,
right.
It's like just so she knows that she's been able to say it.
But and I want us to work together and have some common goals. I want us to plan together. I want you to tell me your thoughts. And so that's why connectors are going to use language to build a base that we both can stand on together. And know that's us. That's a unique us because we agreed together on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel safe when I talk and I tell you my fears, my doubts, my hesitations, my concerns, my unworthiness, my feeling fragile or vulnerable. If I can tell you those things, I feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a big part. You know, I think about a lot of the men that we work with that their wives are willing to work on restoration, and the guys are just struggling and fumbling and going, man, how do I want to make things right. I want to you know, repair this. And so many times when we talk about the rebuilding of the marriage, we talk about how important it is for the wife to feel like she's been heard.
Yes.
And that's one of these skills here, right? Like if a wife is saying, first of all, I feel unsafe because of the betrayal that's happened. But if there's recovery going on in the husband and there's change that's happening, this is a huge part for her because she wants to know, because she's probably got 1,000 more words, or maybe more than that, a day, that are now related to recovery, and she's got questions, and she's got things. And so if he can do a good job of helping her feel like she's connected through those words, because he's willing to listen, he's willing to talk, and that creates a safety.
Well, and that's a great setup for loners who are too alone, but we're made to be in union and relationship and fellowship.
Right.
So those are the guys that went off to create fantasies, and now they've got to come back and do the real work of real connecting with God and self and others. That's a new skill set. And I had a guy say this, and it's so simple, but it just hit me. He said, I gave myself permission. I gave myself permission to feel.
Mm-hmm.
To struggle. I gave myself permission to be a loner, but to move towards connecting. Isn't that a beautiful statement?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the transitional statement towards healing, is to say, I give myself permission to have been shaped one way, but now I'm moving another way. And I might fumble and stumble, but I'm going to keep growing in this new direction towards connecting versus detaching or being alone.
Yeah, and if you think about that, I think there's good challenges in both of these categories to stretch.
Yes.
And certainly for the loner, it's to say, don't go further into yourself that isolates you and puts you in dangerous situations with temptation and all these other kind of things. God from the very beginning said it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
We need connection. But even for the connector, I think a lot of times the work that a connector has to do is to work on not judging or shaming the loners as if they're lesser, like, oh, you don't have the skills I have, or you don't have the.
Yes.
Instead, it's like, hey, how can the connectors become more like gracious trainers?
Oh, that's good.
For the loners to draw them in a little bit more and say, I want to connect with you. I don't want to drive you further into your loneliness.
Yeah. And it's interesting because spouses are not gods, right? They're people. and we're going to be disappointed. And maybe you're a great connector and your husband's not great at connecting, but God is there.
Yes.
And you are there. And that's plenty. And then your husband is an addition to that. So don't feel like, oh, I'm all hindered, I can't grow. Oh, no. Me and God can have a great connection always. Mm-hmm. And then you reach out to spouse and to friends and fellowship and community, and you go from there. So you're not feeling like I'm stuck. Oh, no, we're never stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
So, and the connector is inviting you into the pure joy of connecting, of the beauty of fellowship, and to becoming one in that intimate bonding thing that occurs that's so safe and protective. It's like a little cocoon of connection. You know, him and her and God surrounding that little image of oneness. It's beautiful.
That's so good. Yeah, so if any of this has resonated with you, we're gonna put a link to this little thought here so you can kind of look at it yourself. And I would highly recommend, men especially out there, husbands especially, take this and read it with your wife and kind of ask each other, like, hey, where are we in this? And how can we take some steps to improve our connection, even if our personalities are naturally one or the other of these? Because this is all about a growth mission, right?
We're growing.
We're glad that you've been with us. Please rate and review the podcast. We love to hear from you, and that helps people find it. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.